Good morning, everybody. Every time I read the story of Saul's conversion, I'm amazed at the great grace of God. I see God take this man, save him by grace, and transform him into a great man of God. And it is because of this that I realise that there is hope for people like you and me to be used by God. The truth is that Saul was a very unlikely candidate to be used by God. Here was a man who was feared and hated by Christians, and one who did everything in his power to destroy the name of Jesus. Yet, God reached down in grace and took this man from where he was and used him to change the world. Indeed, God used him in such a great manner that the ministry of a man called Saul, who became better known as Paul, is still bearing fruit today. When we look at Saul, we may be tempted to think that he was some kind of super saint, a super Christian. He probably had a t-shirt made up saying something of that sort of ilk. And we may feel that there's no possible way that God could use us like he did this man, or that God couldn't even use us at all. I suppose that we could look at what Paul did in his life after his conversion and feel somewhat inferior or even unworthy. But I want you to hear today that Jesus can and will use you if you will make yourself available. Some of you may have asked the question, can God really use my life? I would like to answer that question this morning by taking some time to look at Paul and by showing you the obstacles that seem to be in the way of his service to God. Obstacles which God had no problem in overcoming by his power and his grace. Why? Because no matter who you are, how weak and feeble you feel, whatever you've done in your life before now, God can still use your life. Now, from these verses that we've read in our reading this morning and others that tell us all about Paul's life and ministry, allow me to show you why I say God can. Last week I said that your past is no obstacle to God. If you read verse 1 of our text for today, you'll hear that Saul was really out to get followers of Jesus. Verse 1 says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. Indeed, according to Paul's own testimony, he was guilty of doing everything in his power to stop the spread of Christianity and to put as many Christians as he could to death. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 to 15, Paul tells us something about his past. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. In his own words, Paul says that he was a man of violence, a nasty piece of work. In terms of his Jewish upbringing, he was a man to be envied, but internally, he was as wicked as any man who has ever walked the face of the earth. But here's the good news for you and me. None of this was an obstacle to the grace and saving power of Jesus. When Paul received Jesus into his heart, he was changed forever by the grace of God. Let me tell every one of you, every person hearing, every person reading this message today, your past is no obstacle to the future you can have in Christ Jesus. When Jesus saved your soul, he washed away your past forever. At the precise moment that you asked Jesus into your life, at that moment when you asked him to forgive your sins and become Lord of your life, you were given a brand new start, a clean sheet. A new beginning. In fact, the Bible refers to that event as a new birth. Now, of course, what you did in the past still exists. In fact, there are three records of what you did before. First, there is the record you carry around in your own mind. Second, there's the record carried by all those who knew what and who you were before you met Jesus. And thirdly, there is the record carried by Satan. And he will throw your past back in your face all the time, as often as he possibly can. But let me remind you that even though I may remember my past, my friends and family may remember my past, and Satan surely remembers my past, God has forgotten my past, and it is no obstacle to him. It's no obstacle to him using me now or in the future. How do I know this is the truth? Well, the Bible says in Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And throughout the Bible, God used people in spite of and often after their greatest failures. Simon Peter preached his greatest message and had his greatest ministry after he'd denied even knowing Jesus three times on the evening he was betrayed. Moses was a murderer, yet God used him for his glory. Abraham lied, yet he was used by God. Jacob was a deceiver, yet God transformed and used him greatly. So do you see, you too can be used for God's glory. There's more here too. Who you are right now is no barrier to God either. Paul, at the moment of his conversion, was on his way to Damascus to find Christians to arrest them and to take them to their deaths. He was so filled with hatred that he wanted nothing more than to completely destroy anyone or anything connected to the name of Jesus Christ. Yet in spite of all this, God was able to change this man and to use him for his glory. May I remind you that he can do the same thing in your life and in mine. He can take us with all the baggage that we carry, and he can use us for his glory. We all bring certain liabilities to the table. Some don't see that they have much to offer. Some find faith a struggle. Others are arrogant and filled with pride. Let me remind you that God is able to take us exactly where we are, change what needs to be changed, and then still use us greatly. Again, the Bible is filled with this kind of story. Moses was 80 years old when God called him into the ministry. He wasn't very eloquent in speech. He was filled with fear. He was totally opposed to the plan that God had for his life. Yet despite all this baggage, God was able to use this man for his glory. What I'm trying to get you to see this morning is that your present circumstances didn't catch God by surprise. He knows you. He knows everything about you. Warts and all. Nothing about who you are or what you do is any surprise to God. He knows it all. He knows everything there is to know about you. He knows where you are, and he still can use your life if you will live your life for his glory. The secret to this lies in putting Romans chapter 12 verses 1 to 2 into practice. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The next thing is to understand that your characteristics are no obstacle to God either. Paul was feared by the followers of Jesus Christ. His conversion was seen by many as nothing more than some sort of trap designed to find them and their leaders. In fact, when he went to Jerusalem to meet the apostles, Barnabas had to go with him to introduce Paul to the leaders. Yet God overcame this hurdle and still used Paul in a mighty way. If you take the time to look at Paul's life, you'll find that he was a man with many personal characteristics that seemed to be unfavourable to his success in Christ. According to the scriptures and Paul himself, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10, we read, In person, he was unimpressive, and his speaking amounts to nothing. Bit of a sad indictment, really. See, Paul had many personal hurdles to get over to be used by God. But God was able to use him in spite of what was wrong with him physically. And the truth is that if we get into the business of comparing ourselves with others, then we'll always struggle. Many of us have personal characteristics that make us feel that we can't be used by God effectively. But I would like to remind you that God can take anything, that even those things that we consider to be weaknesses, and he can use them anyway. He can use us anyway for his glory. God excels in taking the weak and foolish things of this world and using them in a great way. Here are some biblical examples of how God has done this. God used Moses, as we said before, a man who was a murderer, and he was old, and he had a speech impediment, but God used him to guide the people out of Egypt anyway. God used a young Jewish girl named Esther to save his people from slaughter. God used a young, unknown boy named David to be the greatest king to ever sit on the throne of Israel. And God used 12 unknown men from various walks of life to set the world on fire for God. You know, even Jesus had human things against him. What do I mean by that? Well, many people saw Jesus as being no more than the son of Mary and Joseph, especially in his hometown. Others thought that there was no way God could use anyone from Nazareth. And still more questioned the fact that he came not from any great place, but from Galilee. And this was God's own son. All of this I've told you to illustrate one thing. Regardless of who you are, where you came from, what problems you have, what personality quirks and foibles you have, no matter what your level of education or even how much other people endorse who you are or don't, God can and will use you if you will only make yourself available to him and his work. The truth is that God has all kinds of people in his service. This has to be true, because he chose me. What God is looking for are those who are willing to serve him. Are you one of those? Are you willing to serve God? There's another thing you need to know. Your private concerns are no obstacle to God either. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 to 9, tell us about Paul's own problems and concerns. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Do you hear? Paul says that his human weaknesses guaranteed him greater strength in Christ Jesus. It didn't matter what concerned him. God worked through these things, and Paul had an amazing ministry. Like Paul, you may look at yourself as being weak and unable to do much for Jesus. But the truth of the matter is that God doesn't need us to be strong and able to stand up on our own 2 feet. What he needs from us is to be humble and to be totally dependent on him and his power. God is looking for people who have nothing more than faith like a mustard seed and a desire to cling to him. And as we look at the Bible, we can find many times when God took the weak and used them in a great way. Daniel was a mere teenage boy when the Lord gave him the strength to stand against the king of Babylon. Hannah wanted a child, and she turned to God in desperation, and he gave her a son who was destined to be a great spiritual leader to the Israelites. Mary was a young teenage girl when God asked her to carry the Messiah, and boy, she had it tough. Can you imagine what people said or at least thought about her? Yet she was strong in her faith. What did she say to the angel? I am the Lord's servant. What faith! Despite all she would go through, she agreed to do God's will. Now, I know that some of you fight depression, while others battle loneliness. Some fight against feelings of inferiority. Some keep their past sins of days gone by constantly in their minds. Some even feel inadequate to do anything for God. Let me tell you again. Whatever name your particular weakness may carry, it can only be an obstacle to you and to God if you yourself allow it to be. All the problems you put as a barrier to serving God are as nothing to him. He can take you with all of your weaknesses and still use you to confound the strongest. He can take your life and make it an inspiration to everyone who comes into contact with you. The secret to all of this lies in one word. Surrender. Are you totally surrendered to God and to his will for your life? So then, as we think about all of these things, let's ask ourselves a question. Can God use my life? Well, I hope that you can see that the answer is a resounding yes, he can. But your life must be his to use. There are a few other questions that need to be considered as we wrap things up now. The first is, as we've already said, are you fully surrendered? Is your absolute all on the altar for Jesus? Or are you holding back? If you want to serve God, if you want God to use you mightily, surrender it all. Everything must be his. And the next question, are you available for him to use? Or is your life so cluttered with so many other things that there is nowhere for God to use you? And the next, are you willing to be used by God? You know, God will never ever force you to serve him. He will never force you into anything. You must come to the place where you are willing for him to use you. I challenge every one of you today. Examine your hearts and do the things that God tells you you need to do right now. Surrender all to Jesus. Be available to him. Be willing to be used by him and see what great things he can do in your life and in mine. Let's all get to that place of total surrender to Jesus so he can and will use our lives for his great glory. For as we do so, we will find that here is a place of deepening faith, of unshakable hope, and the greatest love of all, the never-ending love of God for us all. Can our God? Yes, he can. Amen.